everybody. So my name is Chung. I come from the Institute of Physics of the Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology in Hanoi. So today, I'm going to talk about the some of the results of our group on the study of mass loss and the structure of the envelope around AGB and post-AGB stars. Okay, so here are the collaborators at our groups. That's Jeremy Lim in at Hong Kong University, Sebastian Müller in Sweden, Wong Katat, now is a PhD student in Germany, and Professor San Kuok in Hong Kong. So as you have heard about the many talk about this, about the AGB star, so I don't have to introduce too much about it. So basically, you see that the at the end of the stellar evolution, the star will go through this asymptotic giant branch. So this this stage is very short, about only about 100,000 years, but it's very important because during this phase, the star loses a lot of mass, right? With a mass loss rate from 10 to minus 7 to 10 to minus 4 solar masses per year. And that a high rate of mass loss creates an envelope around the star, okay? And here's a sketch of the structure of the envelope for the carbon-rich and also the oxygen-rich envelope. Okay? So inside you have the star that's pulsating, so the pulsation will lift the material high above the surface of the star where dust can form, and the, due to radiation pressure, the dust particle will be pushed outward, and the particle, dust particle, will drag the gas along with them. Okay, so from this sketch, right, in we have a very simple model that the circumstellar envelope around this AGB star should be more or less spherically symmetric. So that is what we see in some cases, like this one. So you see that this is channel map of the CO2:1 emission from an AGB star. So you see that the shape of the envelope is more or less spherical. But then, if you go to the post-AGB phase, that's when the star leaves the AGB and on the way to become a white dwarf. So you see a very dramatic change in the morphology of the envelope. So this one is the optical picture of the Egg Nebula. So you see this had become you see this very prominent bipolar lobe, and also you see this in the red here. Actually, that's the location of the molecular hydrogen emission. Okay. So the goal of our study actually is to study the structure of this of the circumstellar envelope around the AGB and post-AGB star, and also to study, right, how that change of morphology happened. So first, just to show you some of our results that we published previously, that is the observation of W. Hydra, that we look at the molecule SC3N, it's a quite high transition, it's J equal 3 to 2. So we see that the envelope is a little bit elongated, and the star is at this location here, and the size the size of the beam here is about 0.8 arcseconds. So we can resolve the emission of this SCN molecule, right, in the envelope of W Hydra. But I should emphasize that W Hydra is an oxygen-rich star. So which means that you do not expect, normally you do not expect to find SCN in it. But here you see very bright SCN emission, which means that somehow a molecule, right, containing carbon is created, right, in the around this ocean-rich star. Okay. And we look at the shape of of the SCN line from the modeling. We can derive the velocity of the gas from the star. So you see that the velocity of the gas actually increases very slowly. Right? This is like, I'm not sure if you can see it, actually that's from the model, right? The standard model that people usually usually adopt. But then what we find actually is this line. So the acceleration is quite slow. Right? It's quite puzzling in this case. And More recently, we found we also have this SIOJ equal 8 to 7 line, and we also see more or less kind of spherically symmetric envelope in this case. But we can also model the shape of the SIO line and derive a more accurate velocity profile. Now I go to the case of IRC 10216. So this is the data that we obtained with the very large array. You see the map of various molecule like SC3N, SC5N, and the big one. Even SC, we get emission, we detect emission even from the SC7N. So here, the in color, you see that is the that's the V-band image of IRC 10216. So you see all kind of arcs here, and it's very interesting that we find the emission from cyanopolyene molecule coincide exactly with the position of this arc. Okay. So here is this, I can show you more in more detail. Right? This is arc, this one, this one. So we see many arcs, and there's a very there's a spatial correspondence between the molecule and the dust arcs. Okay, and this arc or the incomplete shells represent mass loss enhancement episode and covering and cover about each arc here on average cover about 10% of the stellar surface at the time of the ejection. And more, if you look at the chemistry of this cyanopolyene molecule, so according to the model by Cherchnev and Glasgow, so this the bigger the molecule, the longer it takes to form. So actually, the model predicts that this molecule, the bigger molecules, to form further from the star. But in this case, we see this the spatial very good spatial correspondence between the SC3N and SC5N, which means that this molecule somehow form at the same time in the circumstellar envelope. Okay, so we also look at the distribution of the cyanopolyene molecule in other carbon-rich stars like NLPN or CIN 2155. So you see more or less is the shape of this of the emission is a hollow shell, right? That's consistent with the with the model is with some some degree of clumpiness. Okay, so now we go to the case of CIT6. That's one of the famous carbon stars. That's one of the stars that I like very much because it's the first time that actually we can detect directly the spiral structure in the envelope using molecular line other than CO. Okay? So here's a map of the SC3N J equal 5 to 4 line in CIT6. So you see that look very complicated, but you see this thing, okay, and then this thing at the center, okay. So well, clearly we see a spiral here. It's a one-arm spiral, and it turned out that this the star at the center of CIT6 is a binary system. Okay, so with the binary companion moving inside the envelope, so that can create this spiral pattern due to the interaction with the AGB star. And more recently, so with the EVLA, so Clausen actually made this very nice observation that show in more detail the structure of the envelope with more arcs and we see this the spiral shape here. But this author they claim that there's no there's no spiral. Okay. And then that's the actually, Kim and a collaborator in Taiwan, so they did a very good modeling of the envelope and show that the data obtained by Clausen and collaborator actually can be fit very nicely with the spiral model. Okay, so now I go to the to show. shows you some of the results that we obtained for the Egg Nebula. So this is one of the famous post-exhibista with this bipolar structure. So here in contour here, this you can see the distribution of the CO emission observed with Plato de Buyer interferometer by Pierre Cox quite a long time ago. And you see that the CO basically traced the location of the shock, that created by the high velocity outflow inside the inside the nebula. And the current model for this for the creation of this high velocity outflow and this bipolar morphology is due to a binary companion. So this binary companion moves around the mass losing star and it captures the wind material and form an accretion disk around it. So the wind or collimated jet will be driven from this companion and the accretion disk due to the magnetocentrifugal force. Okay. And we look at this in the ammonia emission. So it shows you here the math of the ammonia 1-1, 2-2, and 3-3. So the ammonia line mainly chase the high density region, that is mean the shock in the nebula. So you see that the ammonia emission and also the velocity traces very nicely the location of shock and also the kinematics. Right? And from this, we conclude that the abundance of ammonia is enhanced in the shock within the nebula. And now we look at that in a cyanopolyline line. So I show here just one of the lines that we look at, so this SC3N5-4. So the shape, you see, is very complicated. But if you look more closely, actually, it's not as complicated as you think. Actually, it has a more or less spherical shape. And then the outflow actually dig right, a pair of cavity along the polar axis and along the equator. Okay, so that's quite simple. And we can use a radiation transfer model, actually, to explain what we see. So this is channel, the observed channel map, and here's the model. So the morphology of this of the emission can be explained right, by our simple model. Okay, so now you go to this. It shows you the dust continuum emission that we obtain with the VLA. So we obtain actually one of the highest map of the in terms of the resolution of the map. So we get about 0.3 arcseconds. And what we see is this. Okay? It's very, very complicated. You see this big clump at the center and the two clumps here, one to the north, one to the south. And actually, the mass of each clump is about a few times 10 to minus 2 right, solar mass. Right? So it's very, very, very high. So how do you explain this? Right? So this distribution. So if we look at the more closely, is the morphology of this clump, and also we also have the spectral index data for this clump. It turns out that these two clumps, right, two brightest clumps, have very low spectral index. So which means that we are looking at the dust particles that have very high, have large size, millimeter in size. So how do you explain this? Right? So our model is that in order to create right, the jet in the bipolar axis, you need to have a binary system sitting here. Right, that system will drive jet in the bipolar direction, as we see. But then we need to explain the jet in the equatorial plane. How do you explain that? In this case, so we see that we think that this one actually is an circumstellar disk. Around a third companion. So long ago, about a few hundred years ago, 300 years ago, so this companion actually moved close to the center, and then due to enhanced accretion at that time, so that the companion right, and its accretion disk can drive outflow in the equatorial plane. So that's why I can explain this kind of cross shape of the Egg Nebula. So this model, to me, is quite natural, but when we submitted the paper, right, we got the comment from the referees that the discussion is empty because you have not shown that there's Batista is this system. Right? They need to reject the binary hypothesis first. Right? So right now we are still working on this draft, you know, trying to answer the referee command. Okay, so don't have time to work on, talk about this. So last thing I want to talk about is just very briefly about the supergiant star, that IRC 10420. So this is the optical map, the optical image of this star. So you see it is very large, quite large. The nebula around this star is a complex structure. You see this many, there are many arcs, clumps, and condensation in this envelope. So we long ago we looked at the CO221 line, and we can derive the structure of the envelope. Especially we see that there's a hole at the center, which means that the mass loss from this star actually stopped quite long ago. And that created a kind of an envelope with a cavity at the center. So more recently, we got the VLA data of the SIO120 line, and we see that the envelope is quite kind of clumpy, and there's clearly a cavity at the center. And we compare that with the SIOJ equal to 221 data obtained with the Plateau de Buhr interferometer. And the big surprise is that when we measure the line ratio, we see that the ratio between the 221 to 120 line increases towards the center. Which means that the excitation condition within the envelope is very peculiar. So when we try to explain the Lie ratio, so this one is a map that shows you the location of the Lie ratio. Right? For example, high Lie ratio, we need high density and also this need high density. But the lower Lie ratio, like a 1, we need lower density. But you look at this, right? The density is order of 10 to the 5. Okay? Order of 10 to the 5. But if you look at the size of the envelope, it's very big. Right? This big, which means that the density up to the 10 to the 5 exists, even in the outer part of this envelope. Okay, so we construct a more detailed model that we can fit very well the brightness temperature of this star, and also they can fit the single disk observation. And to reconcile our result with previous observational result, right, done for this envelope, which derive a density of factor of 10 or more below the density that we derive here. So we think that in this envelope, the SIO emitting region actually are clumps, right, embedded into this more diffuse envelope of gas. And that seems to be consistent with what we see in the optical. Yes, so we see a lot of noise, a clump condensation around here. So actually, SIO emission probably come from this dense clump, and the SCO emission that will come from more diffuse surrounding gas. Okay. So I conclude that the structure of the circumstellar envelope is complex and can be influenced by many different factors, for example, mass loss, anisotropy variation, binary companion, and also shock chemistry, for example, is likely important to be in addition to photochemistry to explain the distribution of different molecules within the envelope. So thank you very much for the attention.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I was wondering about the silicon monoxide results on IRC plus 10420.
Yes.
I mean, silicon monoxide is also easily radiatively excited. And have you taken that into account?
Oh, yes. I mean, yes, we take that into account. But in the case of IRC 10420, the radiation field is not very strong because the envelope is so big.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe have the next speaker to come up, please. Yes. Any other questions? Oh, one down there.
At
some point you said that the wind of one of your objects stops. Isn't it more natural to say there is variant than the wind has stopped?
Sorry,
you said that one of your objects, the wind has stopped some point. Isn't it more natural to say that it's varying?
Than to say that that's I think probably is more correct term to describe, because the currently the mass loss rate is very low, and we see mainly the mass loss evidence for mass loss from the optical spectroscopy. Yeah.
Okay, last question, Sylvie.
It's also related to SIO. It's a very naive question because I really don't know the scales, but I thought SIO would condensate into grains in these envelopes. So, I mean, how come it's still in the gas phase?
Normally for AGB star, so the SIO will condense onto dust grain in the inner region close to the star. But here we are talking about the distance of about a few thousand AU from the central star. Okay, very, very far. So, whereas you expect that most of the SIOs would have condensed already onto the dust grain. So here, in order, we don't have explanation for the existence of SIO in the gas phase, but our speculation is that because of this clump moving within the envelope, probably at a different velocity, and that will create probably some kind of weak shock. And that shock will raise the temperature and release the dust from, SIO from the dust grain.
Do you have an estimate of the SIO abundance relative to CO?
Yes, we have.
How much is it?
I don't remember. It's
okay,
like 10
we'll
to
talk
minus
about
6
it.
Or something like that. I can show
you. Let's continue this
we'll talk about
afterward. Right. Thank you. Thanks very much. Next, we have Fong Tan. And I apologize for the bad pronunciation of both all the names. talking about CO and N2 differential depletion in pre-stellar cores.